Welcome to another episode of Rethinking Supply Chain. I'm Diana Chen, and I'm here with your host, John Abrams, and our special guest today, CJ Teku of Katsi. Katsi is a product information management platform for mid-sized brands and sellers. Welcome, CJ.
Thanks for having me.
I think today, John, we just want to talk to CJ about what Katsi is and how he got into the product information management space. So I'll just let you kick it off and let you guys chat.
Yeah. So CJ, I don't know if you have, I don't think we've talked about it before, but every once in a while I talk about how Chicago is this hub of product content. And my belief is that back in the day of Sears, the big catalog operation, and even Montgomery Ward, those folks located in Chicago because it was a rail hub, and this is how you got your goods on this side of the Mississippi, and then you repackaged them on the train and sent it further west. And I think the legacy of that industrial side of shipping goods and using rail and, you know, all of that, the legacy of that is that there are all these product warehouses, quite literally, as vestiges of that age in the 1800s and beyond. But also there were all these photography studios, and there was all this, you know, leftover attributes of the heyday of shipping products out of Chicago all over the country and eventually all over the world. So I'm curious, is your work in product content management and the work you do at Katsi, I'm curious, A, you know, what drew you to it? If Chicago's sort of foundational elements of supply chain had an influence on why you're here, or why you stayed here? And also curious, you know, if you see the same things I do in terms of there's all these vestiges of, you know, logistics and old school supply chain that you still run into in Chicago. So really want to hear a little bit about your story. How did Katsi form? And then what do you see the environment like in Chicago?
So, yeah, I wish I could say there was something great about that drew me to Chicago, but it was pretty mundane. I got a job at a manufacturer. This was a manufacturer in the oil space, but they had a lot of SKUs, and that was brought. I was hired to help them out with their SAP integration, and they wanted to basically handle all these SKUs in SAP with all types of engineering content. This company is called UOP, and they're part of Honeywell now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my first exposure to SKUs, you know, the SKU.
So just so you know, I am literally a stone's throw from UOP. So I live in Mount Prospect, and they're just down the road, and they're all over the place. And actually, as you know, we're a Canadian incorporated company. And anytime I'm up in the oil sands area of Canada, I guess UOP has all of this intellectual property around extracting oil from the sands of Canada. So fascinating, you know, such a small world. I know UOP well, and fascinating. When I think about products, I usually think about all the products on the store on the shelf of a store. But yeah, oil and gas, they have products too.
Right. And these are like pellets, I know. Some sort of synthetic pellets that came in a variety of configurations that were added to the refining process. So that experience took me to my next project, which was over at a distributor, a major MRO company. And they were started in Chicago, and they had this massive red books, 4,000 page red books. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, which is basically Grainger.
So
I went there, and they had a much bigger challenge with SAP and dealing with SKUs, but they had a much bigger SKU count. And
like in the range of what?
Back then it was half a million SKUs.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And the challenge there was the same exact thing, but instead of a lot of engineering data, they had a lot of digital assets and marketing content and their challenge was to consolidate this content into one central product database. And with UOP, their challenge was basically maintaining all these specs, all this data. So that's how I, you know, kind of became, with experience, became kind of like, got drawn into this space. And Chicago is a beautiful city. I came here actually for a two-month project.
Oh.
Yes. Never left. Those 2 months are still going. So
how many years has it been now?
Oh, man, you want me to date myself here, huh?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Okay, it's been a while. How about that?
Okay.
it's been a while, longer than you think.
Well, that, you know, maybe I wasn't thinking of going this direction, but maybe it's a good way to tease out some of what you built in CATSI around content management, because I don't know if you know, but I ran part of a $500 million SAP upgrade at Cardinal Health. We had 600,000 active SKUs in my group, and it was not possible to connect our SAP instance to anybody else's SAP instance so that I could get better information on the products I was receiving from Johnson & Johnson or what have you. So I don't want to pick on SAP. They do a really good job at organizing within the four walls of a company. But I think when it comes to the more narrow or more finite parts of product information, I don't think SAP has a play there. And I'm curious if that was part of your motivation for starting CATSI.
Yeah, you're actually, you're spot on. SAP is built more as an operational system, it's an actual legitimate ERP, meaning they just care about operating your business. There is no marketing dimension to it, at least as far as I know. So SAP does not go into marketing product content, for example. They don't have a spot for managing the romance copy, the bullets, benefits, features, or images, product images, product documentation like PDFs, installation guides, spec sheets, let alone more richer content like videos and 360 spin photography. So the kind of content you need for e-commerce is not something SAP is built for. It's built for really being, planning as well as executing on the manufacturing side of things. At least that was my exposure to it. I know they do a lot more things now. They have a lot of other companies and modules and acquisitions, so they probably do a lot more. But SAP is definitely not known to help out the marketing and the rich content side of the shop.
So, yeah, and I think that was when they acquired Hybris, and it's been a while now, you know, may even be 10 years since they've acquired Hybris. I think it was to fill that gap in the more feature-rich or attribute-rich parts of product. I would say, though, that Hybris didn't really close that gap as much as it could have for SAP. And I think, because your point, that SAP is the, you know, their sweet spot is the operational core of a business. I think when you try and bolt on the sort of thing that, say, a CATSI does, bolting that onto SAP it's very difficult because you run into really what I think is a cultural gap between what SAP knows, loves, and does really well, and what they don't, which is detailed information about a product.
Right. However, the way we built CATSI is as an independent platform, completely independent of whatever your ERP system is. You could be operating Profit 21, Oracle NetSuite, or you could be running SAP. And we have clients that use all three of these, as well as a variety of AS400 mainframe systems.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I haven't heard AS400 in so long. Thank you for bringing me back. Maybe you're right. You do date yourself a little bit. I'm just going to have to find those little things. Like if you start talking Fortran code, I'm going to know exactly how old you are.
All right, that's good. That's a good game then. Let's play this. Yeah. So, but the thing about us, with CATSI is we still feel not feel. We actually built CATSI to operate on top of the SKU. SKU is almost like the fundamental building block for a PIM to run correctly. And the reason that is because the sellable product ultimately that is sold to the customer is the SKU. It's not the entire product line or the product family or the product itself. As you know, a product is basically a set of, in a lot of cases, it's a set of variations, and each variation is a tangible SKU. Now, the SKU could also be a license. It could also be an entitlement. It could be a digital product. But what's been sold is the SKU, and that SKU is the foundation that you still need in a PIM, so you know where to take this brand SKU or manufacturer SKU or the seller SKU and where to feed that SKU to, because when the order comes around or when the supply chain kicks in, ultimately you still need that SKU for the rest of your supply chain.
But I couldn't agree more. And I think, and we won't have enough time in this particular episode, but perhaps in the next one, not only is the SKU fundamental, but that connection from whoever manufactures or even distributes that SKU and whoever sells that SKU and the consumption of that SKU. So the connection between all of those different components all the way down to the consumer, I think doesn't happen if you don't have let's call it visibility to that SKU from any part of the supply chain all the way down to the consumer.
Yep.
So, yeah, go ahead.
So CATSI is a standalone platform running on its own, but the SKU is what connects us to the supply chain. And then we take that SKU and then we build on top of that. We build all the supply chain attributes, the remaining attributes like, the dimensions, the weights and lengths. We add, or at least we give them the ability, them meaning the customer, whoever the brand is, we provide all the options for marketing content. That's your romance copy, your short description, long description, your bullets, features, etc. And also engineering data. That could be, the horsepowers, the lumens, the voltages, the wattages, all the operating specs. And then a merchandising aspect also can be brought in. Like, what are the channels? Where are we selling this product? What SKUs should be sold on what channel, and what's the workflow to handle that? And finally, sales data, which is the pricing information, the type of content that sales teams need.
So it's really cool, and all stuff that doesn't, dimensions will live in SAP because there's a warehouse function and you got to know how much shelf space and all of that sort of thing. But the sort of attributes that you're talking about absolutely don't live there. Anytime you start talking marketing copy, romance copy, all of that is just foreign to traditional supply chain folks.
Right. And images is even worse, right? I mean, they have absolutely there is no way you can handle images, let alone videos and 360 spins. So images is a real problem because images require an entire infrastructure. You need a whole app, a standalone application or platform to handle digital assets. When I say images, that's almost a simplification of digital assets because a lot of companies that are in the engineering space or electronics space, they have CAD drawings, they supply circuit board diagrams, they supply all types of stenciling information that comes in special files. So it's all type of special file formats, depending on the trade that this brand is in. And all of those digital assets are very important, very critical in the marketing and sales aspect depending on the space that this brand is selling into. And all of that information was never connected back to the product and never connected back to the SKU. So when you're selling, there is all this other information that the customer or the prospect needs to make that decision is missing. And bringing that was operated in a different department, which is a marketing department, and the photography department. So bringing that data together is ultimately the challenge we're solving.
Which is fascinating, because when I talk kind of capital C supply chain, when I talk about that with most people, they say, well, you know, supply chain is fine. It, you know, it works really well. We can move this box from here to here. And I think what's happened over the last 15 years or so is that as we've connected or extended the supply chain all the way to the consumer, the foundation or that image that you talk about, and it's funny how you react, you know, so intensely around the image and you know, the need for that, whether it's a mechanic or whether it's a drawing, a CAD drawing, what have you, or just the picture of an image, that is the fundamental of consumer-driven supply chain. If a consumer can't interrogate the image of a product, and I forget the numbers, but we've all seen them, there is a huge percentage of people who won't buy that product. You can't show me that product, I won't buy it. Don't even get into spin, which I don't know how often you run into spin. I think only a fraction of Amazon products even have spin. And outside of Amazon, where you get into some of the more traditional e-commerce or, you know, retail sites, there's no spin at all. You know, go try and spin a shoe at Kohl's. Good luck. You won't find it. So it's interesting you have this very authentic, very emotional reaction to image, and yet you look to an SAP system and it just, there's no way to fit an image into that product record. It just doesn't exist. It's fascinating.
Right. That's right.
So I don't know if we have enough time to cover this, but maybe a short piece of thought, given your understanding of SAP and all of that, and the uniqueness that CATSI brings to the table of kind of layering, as you say, layering in or adding to that SKU content. How do you, or do you, integrate or work with the SAPs of the world?
We integrate in the sense, if I use the word integrate in a more loose context, we don't have a direct API connection. If the other end supports it, we would. But the challenge we have with a lot of legacy systems is it's a very intricate process, the process of exchanging information. Could be you could do an EDI document if you really wanted to, which would be great integration. But as you know, they are very, very painful. I recall spending 3 months on one EDI document, adjusting every character, every byte. And it's a lot of work. So that clearly is not effective, or it's not efficient in this day and age when you really need to go faster. Integration is an interesting aspect. So the way we connect these systems, I'm using the word integration for connecting, just for more clarity, is for better clarity. Connecting is basically the method in which we get the SKUs into CATSI. The most effective way we found to connect these systems is through a CSV or a nightly feed. In most cases, most companies are very happy and receptive with that approach. And that connection happens on a frequent basis. So that integration in the connectivity between the ERP system, which could be SAP or Profit 21 or NetSuite, and CATSI works, and it works well. So any change they make, like dimensions or supply chain data in the ERP system, we have that the following day. Or if they choose to run it more frequently, then we have it within the same day.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. And almost all systems can push out a CSV file, and it's very straightforward. It's easy to ingest. It makes a lot of sense. And you've mentioned a couple times just the way you frame CATSI as a quote, standalone system, it allows that system then to actually stand alone without being really a subset of, say, an SAP. It allows you to house that detailed product information in a place that is a single repository and keep that fresh by pulling in, whether it's from an SAP system or even your marketing systems or what have you. So makes a lot of sense. And I think the right approach in terms of not having to follow a large ERP project, which go on all the time at large manufacturers. So I think that's a great approach and makes a lot of sense. I do look forward, and we should do another episode where we can dig in a little more on the retail side. But I'm guessing, Diana, we're coming up against the end, and I'd like to give CJ a chance to tell people how to get a hold of him.
Yes, you can check us out at CATSY, that's CATSY.com, and we will get in touch with you and, yeah, take it from there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, CJ, for joining us. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll have to have you back, CJ, to chat a little bit more about the retail side, especially as John said. Thanks again for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Supply Chain podcast. It's brought to you by Venzee, intelligent product content distribution for enterprise commerce. Learn more and say hello to us at Venzee.com. That's V-E-N-Z-E-E.com.